There's a story that's been told as I was praying and preparing last night, and my wife has shared with me that a couple of companies have stepped up in a big way, that Airbnb had made public that folks that were affected or displaced and needed a place to stay could access a place through their portal. They say within an hour, they had like 6,500 people sign up to be placed in housing. It was awesome to see this entity step forward in that way. But then there was other entities that stepped up, and you had Uber and Lyft, these billion-dollar companies, step up and say, hey, we will provide transportation for those who have been displaced and who have been needing to be able to access or get to safety, get to housing. It's really cool to see these people starting to actually work in tandem together, but independently offer something that's of a great resource. Because, I mean, what good is solid housing if you can't get there? Or what good is transportation from wreckage if you have nowhere to go? And so in tandem, once you see community coming together, even in the business world, you see working together brings forth this great and awesome good, even in the midst of a very difficult time. YMCA is opening up its doors saying, come, take showers. The local bars are saying, hey, come, charge your phones. We only give it out pop. But come be around people. And the beautiful thing is bars are scattered throughout and in local communities, so they are easy to access. It is crazy to see what happens when people begin to work together after such a devastating time. Unfortunately, we in Detroit have a history where we've experienced something similar. In 1805, a fire destroyed almost everything in Detroit, and it is out of that experience that our motto, we hope for better things, it will rise from the ashes, has come. Today, we are a thriving city, and we trust that even in the midst of such difficulty and struggle, that there will be a day when our family in LA will rebound. But today, we are praying for peace and no more advancing of fires. But the business world showed us something beautiful that the church should also be reflecting: a beauty of working together. Actually, that's the heart or the real essence of our vision for this year. If you could bring up the slide, and I'm all out of order, Kyle, so you're just going to have to join me and flow with me. We have a slide that has some hands on it, and it says, fellowship with God, stronger together, together with the body. Now, you know your pastor is a little corny, so stronger together is used quite often, and we couldn't just go with that. We had to make a little adjustment. But I'm going to explain how our little adjustment is actually the heart of who we are as a body. Let me start with what fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. It is simply, as Tony Evans says, authentic biblical fellowship that is displayed in mutual sharing of life of Christ between his fellow members. A mutual sharing of life of Christ between his fellow members. Don't get that twisted. You can have community and do life with people and Christ not be in it, and that's just good relationships. And sometimes as Christians, we like to say, without Christ, there can't be any good relationships. No, there are relationships out there that can be healthy. I believe that even a healthy relationship has to emulate Christ-like love. But the difference here is that Christ is in the root, is a part of the essence, is a key component of family members doing life together. That's what fellowship means. But in order for you to have Christ be a part of it, you and I have to know him. We have to have personal connection and personal revelation, personal walking with Christ in order to bring something to a Christ-centered relationship. So if you will allow me, I want to let two examples help us understand what it looks like to have fellowship with God and then fellowship with one another. Because if we are going to have a community that's rooted in fellowship, we've got to each have our own personal walks and then have a communal experience of fellowshipping with one another. So would you allow Jonah to help us a little bit this morning? Turn to Jonah chapter 1. And when someone gets there for us, could you let us know what page it's on? We're going to Jonah chapter 1. Can all the kids in the room help me by saying Jonah chapter 1? Amen. What page was that? 1323. I like it. Thank you. And this is going to be a breeze through of Jonah, but it'll give you some understanding of what it looks like to have fellowship with God. Jonah chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. I was reading the Jesus Storybook Bible with my kids over these years, and I feel like I could sell that book because it's been such a blessing to me over the years. And one of the examples that it has is Jonah says, hey, can I have a ticket to anywhere not Tarshish? Anywhere not Nineveh, excuse me. He's ready to get away. He's ready to leave Nineveh. He doesn't want to have anything to do with them. He's not interested. He is disobedient. And I believe that the disobedience part of Jonah is something we all can relate to. I actually believe the disobedience part of Jonah is what makes us realize we're in need of a holy God, a God who is loving, a God where at some point you can say this God, the God that's created all things, the heavens, stars, and everything in it, that God knows me. Because it doesn't become real for you until he really knows your sin. Knows it and still looks at you and says, and yet I love you. And yet you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And yet I made you in my image, even with all that mess. Continue with me in verse 9. There's a storm that comes while they're on the ship, and the crew comes to Jonah, and they're like, hey, we about to roll these dice, and whoever the dice land on, we know it's that person that's causing this crazy storm. And they roll the dice, it lands on Jonah, and they come to him like, dude, look at this crazy storm. What's going on in your life? Who are you that you would bring this crazy storm? And in verse 9, he says, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And he basically tells them, I know you found out about me, but if you want this storm to calm, go ahead and throw me in the water. This guy who's being disobedient still knows right, though. You see that even in disobedience, it doesn't change the essence of who he is, though. He still says, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord. He acknowledges who he is and what he does, but also acknowledges who he worships, the God of heaven who made the sea and dry land. See, that's part of the essence of our walk of fellowship. Fellowship first must start with you and I being willing to worship a holy God. And even in disobedience, acknowledge that he is good and that he's created us for something more. Verse 17, God does provide. He goes on to say, now the Lord provided a huge fish. This was after they threw him in the water to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. God provides, y'all. Even in the midst of disobedience, God provides. Even in the midst of rejecting God, God provides. It is a key reminder. Why do I say that? I say that because sometimes we think that our walk with the Lord needs to be based on something we've done well. Yep, I'm going to come to God once I get dot, dot, dot in order. Or I can do this role once I get dot, dot, dot. And maybe God's calling you to holiness and increasing in some ways, but also maybe God's just calling you to realize he will care for you and meet you even in the midst of the mess. Even in the midst of your mess up, even in the midst of disobedience, God will be there. I like a Jonah posture, though. Continue in chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, and from the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. See that personal touch? See that fellowship opportunity? He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Y'all, fellowship is worship. Fellowship is seeking. Fellowship is crying out. It is praying, even when you got yourself into some mess. Notice Jonah made some bad choices, and still he cries out to God. Not only when the life was crazy around him, but actually when he made choices that got him in some mess, he seeks God. We were having some issues with our car, and this ain't y'all, this just me. But the light came on with the car. So the light came on. I ignored it for a little bit. I went on ahead into the shop, took it to them. They said, hey, actually, I think when I took it to them, you know what happened to the light, right? The light went off. You know, it's not broken when you actually go ahead and take it in. Light went off. So then I'm driving. Light comes back on. And I'm just like, cool, I'm just going to ride it out. And then the car stops. Now, who do I have a right to be mad at? You know it. Me. Because I know I got myself in this situation because the light came back on and I didn't do nothing about it. And I told myself, just keep putting it off. But don't we find ourselves in those situations? There's warning signs. There's some things telling you not to do it. Maybe we ignore it. Maybe we postpone it subtly, slowly. But sooner or later, disobedience surfaces. And my prayer is that we can be like Jonah and fellowship with God in the moment and say, in my distress, I will call to the Lord. Why? Because he answers me. Because he responds. Because he loves us, because he is with us. Continue with me in chapter 2, verse 6. Jonah shows this posture and this heart of repentance. Says, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. You, Lord, no matter what I've done, have brought my life up from the pit. Jonah repents. He acknowledges God's ways in the midst of his brokenness, and that, family, is fellowship. That is fellowship. At the heart of what we hope for this year, a body of people who are drawing closer together, encouraging one another in Christ, that can't happen if we as individuals are not fellowshipping and drawing closer to Christ himself. I like to work out. That's a lie. Let me be honest. Sorry, Jesus. I believe it is good to work out.
We love you, Pastor.
I believe it is good to work out. Thank you, brother. But I'll admit, in some spaces, I'm judgmental. If I go with a workout coach and there's no sign of them working out in their physique, I'm judgmental. I'm confessing. The same with a dietitian. If we meet at McDonald's to talk about my new diet program, we gonna adjust some things. I might be mad because y'all know that's my spot. But look, there's you don't have to be perfect, but there should be some fruit. There should be some fruit. And God is calling us, wanting us as a people of God to not think we have to be perfect in order to encourage and challenge one another. That's not what I'm saying. You don't have to have arrived at all. But there has to be, there should be, there needs to be a longing for some experience with God Himself intimately before I can share the fruit of that with you. The beauty of community is that we encourage one another. We're going to spark one another on. We're going to motivate one another. But He's got to be our ultimate motivator. Amen. So we have a chance to, like Jonah, not let any of our past, even bad decisions, hinder us if we will have a posture of fellowship and worship. It's crazy because you continue with that story, and actually, this past year, Jonah's been a ministering book for me. But I'm sure we'll do a sermon series on it in the future. But in chapter 3, verse 10, after Jonah repents, relents, listens to the Lord, goes, the king there has this response of bringing forth repentance to the whole community. And verse 10 of chapter 3 in Jonah says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction He had threatened. That their posture of change and repentance affected God's heart. This koinonia, this opportunity to experience fellowship, this beautiful thing that God offers us can be experienced through relationship with Him and through repentance. All right, kids, I need y'all to help me for a second. See how this one go. Can y'all stand up? All right. So I want you to take your finger and don't hurt somebody. Turn it back to yourself and push it. And tell me, can you push it so hard that your finger bends? Or is your finger unbendable? Will it bend? Okay, all right, I got a lot of head nods. Okay, now I want you to take your hand like this and make a fist. And do you think you can get your finger in your fist, or can you make a fist so tight that you can't get your finger in? You can get your finger in there? Okay. No, too tight. Okay. Last one. All right. I want you to take your hands, put them together, and tell me with all of your strength, if you lock your fingers together, can your elbows pull your fingers apart? Huh? No, it can't, huh? All right. Thank you. What I'm trying to demonstrate is that one of us as an individual has an opportunity to worship God. And there is strength in being an individual that walks with the Lord. There is greater strength when a small group of us get together and we are sharpening each other, being of an encouragement to each other. But man, it is difficult to break us when as an entire community we lock arms, we overlap with one another, and we encourage and walk with one another. It is difficult to break the body. And this past year, we've been through some tough things that have tried, I believe, to break the body. You can call it, the list is long, y'all. And the list has been listed too many times to say all the reasons why we have good reason to be arguing with each other right now. So I'm not going to remind you of that list. What I want to remind you of is Paul was going through the same thing. Paul went through an environment and a time where he had the opportunity to be arguing with churches. If you don't remember, every book that Paul writes in the Bible is a book to say to the church, hey, I love y'all, but there's some stuff y'all could be doing better. Here's a way that you could be growing. Here's a way that you could be encouraged. And turn with me now from Jonah to Romans chapter 1. Because if we first learn from Jonah what it looks like to fellowship with God individually, now we're going to learn a little bit about what it looks like to walk together as a family. Romans chapter 1. Book of Romans has some Jewish converts that have returned to Rome after witnessing what took place in Jerusalem. I love the Bible Project. They go a bit deeper into this. Paul's letter to the Romans indicates that the church was well established and already having influence in the wider Christian community during that day. What page is chapter 1 of Romans? 1601. Amen. We're going to start with verse 8. This is Paul speaking about his personal walk. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last my God's will, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. So Paul is saying here that Christ is the essence of why he's coming. He is the one by which faith is understood and faith is going out throughout the entire world. That he's thanking God that he gets to be a witness of the gospel going forth. But notice in verse 10, he says something that's a little bit applicable to our day. He says I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you, for me to come to you, for me to be in your presence, for me to get there. Notice he's writing a letter. He's sending a message. He's making a Facebook post. He's showing a video. He's sending a text. This is the media of that day. This is the way in which you communicate without being present. You write a letter and send it. And notice he didn't allow that to be sufficient. He didn't say the letter is good and I hope y'all will do well. God bless you. He said, even though I'm writing you this, I hope God will make a way opening for me to come to you. To you. Something unique about us being able to be in one another's presence. There's something beautiful about us being able to engage with one another and laugh with each other and hug each other. It's one of the reasons why I think Thanksgiving is the most traveled day. Sure, you can send a card. Sure, you can box up that turkey and send it back to family across. But it's something beautiful when they step off the plane or when they come out the airport and you embrace someone you haven't been with in a long time. Something great about being in each other's presence. He then goes on to say the verse that will be our verse for the rest of the year. Romans 1, 11 and 12. He says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. My God. That you and I might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That is the essence of fellowship. It is that you went and got encouragement by Christ, and then you came and brought encouragement to me. That something that you received in your personal time now becomes the benefit and the fruit of the community. Now people start debating. They start debating over what it is because he says he's bringing a spiritual gift. So some people are like, oh, you know he's bringing tongues. What? You know he's bringing preaching. They say, you know he's bringing almsgiving. What is almsgiving? Money. You know, they start debating over what it was. We don't know what he was planning to bring. Here's the thing. Whatever spiritual gift he was planning to bring and to give unto them, notice to what he says. He says that through the spiritual gift, I'm bringing this to make you strong. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged. Amen. So whatever I'm coming to bless you with, guess what it's going to do to me? Bless me. There's something beautiful when the body of Christ fellowships with God and then sees each other as one who could benefit, and I'm now trying to care for you, serve you, and love you, and then you in turn care for me, love, and serve me. That's the essence of fellowship. That's the essence of love. That's the essence of community, and that's what we need in this day, y'all. We need to walk together. We need to be connected. We need to be mutually encouraging one another. That definition of encourage means to urge or to plant in one, to say, come alongside. I'm calling you to action. I'm calling you to courage. It means to put courage into. The Greek word there is a word that means parakaleo, but parakaleo also is connected to the same term that we get Holy Spirit, the paraclete. And y'all like, Pastor, what are you talking about? All I'm saying is the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, is the ultimate one who is the encourager. The ultimate one that is breathing life into us, that gives us the ability to go out and reflect him. So we are like many Holy Spirits out here. We get filled by the Spirit to encourage, and then we go out and encourage one another. It is truly the way the church is supposed to be different than the world. It is truly the way the world is supposed to be like, wait a minute. I see them with all those differences, all those ways in which they should be misunderstanding each other, and yet they are imparting gifts to each other? What's wrong with those folks? What is it about them? See, it is our opportunity to model Christ's beautiful love when we fellowship with one another after having fellowshipped with Christ. And so last year, our goal for the year was to focus on God's word, where all scripture was God-breathed. This year, our catchy slogan is fellowship with God, stronger together with our body. I was playing around and trying to get my wording right and was like, okay. Stronger together versus stronger together. Let me make sure I make a clear example of what those two things are and how they differ. And then ChatGPT just said it for me. And I'm going to be honest. I don't look for ChatGPT for spiritual things, but they said this one well, okay? So you're just going to have to roll with it. It says stronger to gather means to become stronger in order to come together or unite, implying that by building individual strength, a group can collectively achieve more or face challenges better. Essentially, gathering power by becoming individually stronger first. That's the call to fellowship. That first we would seek the King. First we would seek God. First we would, as individuals, would have fellowship intimately with God, and then it would mount us up. It would make us strong. It would allow us not to be broken apart. Why? Because out of connecting with God, we then connect with each other and are mutually encouraged. We didn't know that we would need examples of mutual encouragement this early in the year. We didn't know we'd have fires and need to watch the Lyfts and Ubers and Airbnbs show what working together would look like, but how it could transform a city. But that pales in comparison to the beauty and magnificent opportunity the church has to show this unto the world. When we work together, when we are locking arm in arm, when we are doing life together, the world will see it. It's unfortunate, but most of the examples that jumped out to me, and maybe that's because a lot of them are written by brothers, by men, but a lot of the examples of what it looked like to demonstrate teamwork were oftentimes in the environment of war. We're in the environment of challenge. The Duke of Wellington, this British military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, was not an easy man to serve under. He was brilliant, demanding, not one to shower his subordinates with compliments. Yet even Wellington realized that his methods left something to be desired. In his old age, a young lady asked him what, if anything, he would do differently. Even though he had accomplished so much, what he would do differently if he had his life to live over again. Wellington thought for a moment, then he replied, "I'd give more praise." What does that look like in our body? To have the opportunity to mutually encourage one another that much more, what's the bad in it? What goes wrong in it? How does it fail? It only fails when we don't act on it. And it can be difficult. I'm not supposed to do it as often as I should, and I try to love on them well. But when you're a preacher's kid, the spotlight is on you a lot. Because your daddy always giving examples about your life. So Shiloh, no, I'm just playing. But I know internally, with everything that I am, as much as I love this church, I love my family even more. And there are times within my own soul and spirit where I maybe out of 10 times celebrate a kid 7. Why didn't I do all 10? Why didn't I do those extra 3? Why didn't I become more vulnerable? Why didn't I go the extra mile? Why, in some of my friendships, did I see them do something well and I say, "Oh, great job, man, that was cool." But what I really wanted to say is, man, I know you've been struggling with this for a while, and it's not just cool that you took a step. I want you to know, man, it has blessed my life richly that out of fear you pushed forward anyway. See, there's a difference, and if we can be honest, there's something that will hinder you from even being kind, even being loving, even being generous, even imparting a spiritual gift that you know will bless. That is why we need God at the center of this. This is not a year of being a better us. This is not a year of us connecting and getting a little bit closer. This is not a year of us just encouraging others. This is a year of the Holy Spirit doing a work in us as people. And as we depend on Him and are stretched, the fruit of us being stretched will mutually encourage this body. It only works if the Spirit is at the heart of it. Because all of you I love dearly. And yet, all of you, there's a reason why I would not give you 100%. I can only give that dependent upon Christ. But my God, doesn't it feel good when a person encourages you in a way that you did not see coming? Doesn't it feel good when you feel noticed, when you're like, wait, you noticed the shoes went with the belt and with the hat, you noticed? I did take a little extra effort on that. You know what I'm saying? Don't let me call out Herb's hat right quick. You know, I did, you know what I'm saying? I did to put a little extra effort. I did do that. You know how it feels when a person goes that extra mile to communicate your value, your blessing, your worth. If you get it nowhere else in 2025, let us say that you will get it here at Mac Ave Community Church. Yeah. That the fellowship here will allow you to feel loved, will allow you to feel encouraged, will allow you to feel intimate with God and mutually encouraged by your sister and your brother. So, church, what's that going to look like? Well, here's the fun, joyous part. It's going to look like a few things. But first, it's going to look like me encouraging you to listen to the Spirit to lead you. Because the next temptation is for me and for us as elders to program it so that it works. I haven't found an equation yet for the Holy Spirit where I put them into a program and it just works. We can provide opportunity for God to move, but we must depend on the Spirit leading, and mutual encouragement flows out of each of us a little bit differently. So we've got to be okay with some space for that. But I have to do a little bit of acknowledging so you understand that there are people here who want that for you. I want to lift up a few, and whenever you start that, it gets messy because there's somebody that I might not mention, but I'm going to take the risk. I want to make sure that you know there's an elder team that loves you all and that is seeking your good, praying for you, asking God to give us guidance of how to lead this church and structure this church in a way where you have an experience, where you experience God. So my brother Alvin, who's one of our elders, we got a pic of him and his wife Marilyn. Also want to make sure before you is our brother Johnny and his wife Jenny. Just such blessings and this year, you talk about mutual encouragement. The brothers were a great mutual encouragement to our body, specifically a great encouragement to me this year. Also a mutual encourager. I think it's like 70% her, 30% me on an encouragement tip, is my wife. Sorry, y'all. I just had to make sure, and she's going to beat me up for the picture. Sorry, boo. So grateful for you this year. She is a voice of wisdom in our church and is a blessing unto our body. I was going to put up a picture of our staff, but I'm like, no, they're going to be here. And then my sister Kim, not feeling well, but if Vershawn and Alicia could just stand as our staff team that have been serving. I know, hold up. Oh, she stepped out. When she come back in, we're going to clap for her, and she's going to be like, what's going on? But we'll get Vershawn in a minute. But Lisa, you've been a great blessing to us this year. And Kim, I know you're at home. I actually hope you're not watching, that you sleep, getting you some rest. But we just are so blessed by you. Thank you. I got some other groups that I'm about to mention in a minute, but I want to make sure you get some of the heart of what we're trying to offer this year. We offer fellowship groups every year, and I'm not going to say this year is better than others, because like each year I think fellowship groups meet people where they are. But I'll just say, like, we've been greatly encouraged by the experiences taking place in the groups. And as I listen to fellowship group members share about the blessings. Oh, Vershawn, hey, boop, boop, boop. She's like, what'd I do? So we were celebrating the staff this year, and you are a part of the team. So hallelujah. We're grateful for you, sis. Amen. So we definitely want to make sure that opportunities for fellowship take place in our fellowship groups. We want to kind of reestablish our men's and women's ministries, get those going again so that there's opportunities for men and women to be able to do life together. Excited about that. I'm going to have our continued prayer nights taking place here. And remember that prayer nights are not like the I don't have nothing else to do, so let me just go ahead and go. Prayer nights are those times where you want to, like, you want to put it down on your calendar as a time of connecting with God. Amen? And so we are hoping that you'll be present for prayer nights as well as some nights of worship throughout during this year. We're about to kick it together in fellowship as we grab some food together after service. Of course, there are we started last year doing some fasting on Tuesdays, and some have continued in that posture. But I don't want us to miss this last thing that I mentioned. It is in large ways how our church began. We did not begin this ministry through advertisements. We did not begin the ministry through social media ads. We predominantly started our ministry through meeting people on their porches or inviting them to dinner at our tables. The most intimate place and sweetest space for fellowship is the one that you create. I used to say it had to be your home. I don't believe that anymore because we've given you the commons. So use that one. Do it somewhere, though. It might be you and a sister taking a walk with your kids around the park. It might be going to Belle Isle. I don't know. But when you are willing to host someone, they feel loved. They feel cared for. I happen to think your home might be the easiest place, but I'm not in your home, so that might not be the easiest place. What does it look like, though? For no matter how many programs we have, the heart posture of us as people is to be inviters into an experience with Christ. And the greatest opportunity to invite someone in is into a deeper conversation than just, hey, good to see you. All right, see you next week. Beyond your amazing cooking, you guys offer amazing hospitality. And that has allowed people to feel the love and fellowship of Christ. We've got a few initiatives that are going to be coming up. We got a pastoral resident that's going to be starting next month, our brother Joseph, amen. Whoop, whoop, let's go. Continue to pray for him and Kim as they have been working. They are fundraising and have been in that season, and so be praying for them. And if you know a few rich uncles, send them his way, amen, amen. We also have Mac Development that continues to be an expression of this church, and we are going to have a time of hearing about Mac Development a bit deeper next week. But that's another expression where people can have space for fellowship, as well as, this don't have nothing to do with fellowship. Well, we're doing some church renovations, but that's not necessarily fellowship. It's just want to let you know of our vision for this year. We do, though, want to make sure that you know that we have some amazing servants that are working, and this is why we don't say we're starting from bad and just we start from a healthy place with a focus this year on fellowship, on us doing this stronger together. We've got our MAC Youth we have been led by our amazing folks, the Bowmans, hallelujah, hallelujah, investing in and the Drenths, amen, amen, thank you. And then we've had a volunteer coordinator, pseudo-coordinator, non-director, don't want the title, but been blessing us, our sister Kristen Egger, amen. and a whole team of teachers and leaders that have been faithfully investing in our children, and they will continue to do that. Just had a good meeting the other night. Thankful for our deacons that have been serving faithfully. Yeah. Amen, amen. Yeah. Awesome deacons who want to see the church thrive, as well as church teams, volunteers. Hey, this church only flourishes through those that are willing to serve faithfully, and we have been so thankful for all the teams that make it work. Pastor, how are you going to end this thing? Because my kid hungry. All right. I want to end with the image. I want to end with the logo that we have. There's beauty in this logo because the different hands signify a great diversity, signify people with different abilities, different skills, different backgrounds. But we are fighting, choosing to gather, choosing to be present, choosing to celebrate Christ in a way that would bring him honor. But our strength as individuals coming to that table is only dependent on our willingness to relinquish our strength unto God. Your strongest you is the weakest you in the hands of God. Let me say that again. Your strongest you is your weakest you before God. Your fellowship and your blessing unto this body will be such an encouragement as you choose to walk with Christ. And so we are going to do a number of things this year to try to encourage you to that end, to walk together to that end, to remind us that we are stronger when we gather, we're stronger as a body. We're looking forward to fellowshipping with God and mutually encouraging each other. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, that we get a chance to walk this out together. May Jonah encourage us that disobedience doesn't disqualify us, that you are ready and waiting for repentance. And then, Lord, may we delight in you through doing life together as a family. Help us, Lord, as we are trusting everything into your hands, construction and renovation, so that we can just have a little bit more of a sanctuary experience, Lord, that brings you joy. Help us, Lord, to humbly submit these gifts that you've given us, Lord, to you so that we can use them for your glory. Help us, Lord, to know you, grow in you, and then go out and share the beauty of who you are. We love you, God. We are thankful. May this vision of going deeper in you and then with our sisters and brothers be realized in 2025. It's in Jesus' name we pray.